Avraham'ın ayni babamın ağlatı başladı. Mishnah says, the Hemish and Nechtchura, and here now we're going to be going back to matters of Tshreifus temporarily. What we learned about Tshreifus in the last parak, then this parak we were talking about cases with an unborn animal, and now we're returning temporarily to matters of Tshreifus. What this Mishnah is doing over here, we'll talk about at the end of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Behemish Nechtus from Aglair, meaning how a Kobo Lamata. If an animal's hind legs were cut off from the Akuba or anywhere below. Now, Akuba can mean a joint, it can also mean a joint, as in where two bones join, as in where two bones articulate to two or more bones articulate together. It can sometimes also mean the bone itself, as in the length of the bone. Now, with an animal's leg, we have to realize an animal's leg is made up of three long bones. The top one is the thigh bone, corresponding to our thigh bone. Then you have a middle bone, corresponding to our tibia, our lower leg. Now, kosher animals essentially walk on their tiptoes. So kosher animals then have a third long bone from there, which corresponds basically to the equivalent of our palm of the hand or sole of the foot. And it's a long bone, and then below it are the below it are the hooves, which are basically the animal's toes. At the joint, the same way as for us, at the wrist joint and at the ankle joint, you have those two long bones meet over there, and you also have a bunch of small bones over there, the same way in an animal by that corresponding joint. The equivalent of ankle joint, you have a bunch of small bones over there. And you also have some tendons over there, which now we're going to be discussing, called the tsimus agidin. And you have the Achilles tendon. You have a number of different tendons that are that flex the toes and so forth. So we're going to be talking about those. But first, we're saying that if its hind legs are cut off below the akuba, then it's kosher. Which akuba, which joint do we mean? We're going to be talking about in the Gemara. Min akuba la ma'ala psula, but if it's above the akuba, then it will be kosher. The same way the animal we trace, if tsernas agidim are removed. Tsernas agidim, tsernas means a collection, means we're a joining together. Gidim has a variety of different meanings in Gemara terminology. Basically, it means anything, any long, skinny structure in the body. Here it means some tendons. So you have a place, Rashi points out, based on the, as we'll go through the Gemara, that you have in part of those three tendons that make up the tsimus agidim. Rashi describes them as when people are cleaning out meat, they remove them from the hump of the, from the hump of the flesh. In other words, on the face of it, Rashi is talking about when you have the ankle joint and what corresponds to the ankle joint in the animal, the joint not directly above the hooves, but the one above that, on the back of the animal's leg, you have some tendons over there that they usually remove that go over the ankle bones over there, and those are the ones that Rashi is referring to. If that collection of gidim is removed, then even if the bone itself is intact, then the animal is tshreifa. Nishvara etzem continues the mission of what about if the bone itself breaks? What about if it wasn't cut off, but the bone is broken? Im roiv habosakayim, then if most of the flesh around the bone is intact, as we'll see in the Gemara, shitas and taharito, then the shita is mitaharit, meaning not only the animal as a whole is kosher, but even that limb, even that part itself, the broken bone, is also kosher to eat. The imlav, and if not, in shitas and taharito, then the shita will not be mitaharit. That will be the equivalent of what we learned earlier in our parak about Abraham Duldo, about a limb that's partially hanging off the animal and knocked in and is not going to recover its vitality, where then he said the animal as a whole can be kosher, but the limb itself is safe. It's considered Abraham Achai, as we learned about that. Now, in some cases, actually, there can be cases, here we talk about at the beginning of the Mishnah, where the leg was cut above a certain point, or there and at those points, if the leg is broken, then a loss of it can actually be tshreifa. But here we're talking about where it's not necessarily the animal as a whole is not tshreifa, but nevertheless the limb will be also. So what is this Mishnah doing over here? That Amram points out that since we were talking in previous Mishnayos about the previous Mishnayos of our parak, we're talking about a limb of the baby animal that sticks out of the womb. And here we're talking, and then we said, when is that limb going to be mutter? When is it going to be also? So now, in a similar vein, our Mishnah is mentioning that we have a case where the limb is also, even though the rest of the mut, even though the rest of the animal is tashen. The Tiferes Yisrael also adds, you know, when we had an unborn baby, we didn't care how far up the leg was cut off, that stuck out of the womb, because with the baby itself, as long as it's in the womb, tshefas are not relevant to it. So now, then the Mishnah will be telling us with a full grown animal, it's not so, but rather there comes a point above which if the leg is cut off, it's tshefa. Okay. So first of all, we have to define when the Mishnah had said minhar kubo lamata, minhar kubo lamayla, which are kubo, which joint do we mean? So Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar of Priya, Lamata means Lamata min ha'akuba, and Lamaila means Lamaila min ha'akuba. The words Lamata and Lamaila in our Mishnah refer to immediately below the akuba, or immediately above it. In other words, Rashi says you shouldn't think that the akuba of our Mishnah maybe means the upper joint. So again, you have the thigh bone, you have the shin bone, and then you have the lower bone, which again corresponds to our hand or foot in animals. It's called the cannon bone. So you shouldn't think that it means the upper joint, the one between the knee and the tibia, which would be between the thigh and the tibia, which would be the equivalent of our knee. And then, in other words, it would include even that middle bone, even that tibia, to which the tzimis agidim are attached at the bottom of it. No, you can't say that. After all, Rashi points out, the premise is that if even the tzimis agidim, which is at the bottom of that middle bone, of the shin bone, even that, if it's damaged, and we're saying the animal is tzreifa, then how much more so if the leg is removed above that point, it's going to be tzreifa. So you have to understand that the arkuba over here means the lower joint, the one between the tibia and the cannon bone. So the joint that would correspond to our ankle. So below that, if it's cut below that, then the animal is still kosher. If it's cut above that, then it would be tzreifa, says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. The Eza Arkuba Amru, which Arkuba, which joint are we talking about? Arkuba and Mkeresim Arosh. We're referring to the joint that is, so we're referring to the joint that is, that is sold together with the head. That lower joint, the cannon bone, has very little meat on it in an animal. The head also has relatively little meat. So therefore, they would commonly sell them together to make like one port between the two of them. You get a decent amount of meat. So now, in other words, with three long bones of the leg, if the leg is cut off anywhere near the upper joint, what corresponds to our knee, then it would be tzreifas, as Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Rav. But if it was cut by the next lower joint, the one that corresponds to our ankle, if it was below the joint, it'll be kosher. If it's above it, then already you're affecting the area of the tzemes hagidim, and therefore it's going to be tzreifas. That's one opinion. Ula Omar Raboshi, on the other hand, Ula says in the name of Raboshi, you know what joint we're talking about? Kinegde begumel nicker. The corresponding joint is very noticeable in a camel. A camel has as much scrawnier than cattle or any of the kosher animals. So in a camel, you can very easily notice that upper joint, it sticks out. And then that joint that corresponds to our knee, and therefore Ula is saying that's the joint we're talking about, where if it's cut above that, it'll be tzreifa, but if it's cut below that, even though it's in the middle bone, even though it's above the tzemes hagidim, nevertheless the animal can still be kosher. In what way is it noticeable in a camel? So you have that point again that it sticks out. Rashi says the point that it sticks out. Rabbi Negoshim says also the point that the camel's tail is relatively short, so it doesn't cover that joint, unlike by cattle or whatever. Not only is that joint hidden within the body, but also the tail, the goat, extends beyond it anyway. And the Baal Kinura points out that when the camel crouches, then you notice those knee joints very easily. In any case, that would be, according to Ula, the joint that we're talking about, that where if the leg is cut off above that, then it'll be tzreifa. But if it's cut off below that joint, anywhere in the middle, anywhere in the tibia, or anywhere in the cannon bone, then it would be kosher. What about the tzemes hagidim? We'll get to that point. We'll get to that point now. So Ula, little Yehuda. So Ula says to Rabbi Yehuda, b'shlein l'digam mina k'negde b'gomel nicker. It's easier to understand, according to me, that I'm talking about the upper joint, the knee joint, and therefore, and was saying that if the leg was amputated anywhere below that, then the animal is kosher. Then we understand why the Mishnah is saying v'chein shenitzel tzemes ha'gidim. The Mishnah goes on to say the same way that tzemes ha'gidim was removed. In other words, it is below that akuba elyona. It is below that upper joint, the knee joint. So then you could argue then if it's cut off of there, it's kosher. So what's the problem with the tzemes ha'gidim? Nevertheless, though, if it's cut in the area of the tzemes ha'gidim, it will be tshefa. The tzemes ha'gidim are on the bottom part of that bone. So in other words, the Mishnah would be telling us like this. When it comes to, if it's cut above the knee in the thigh bone, then it's going to be tshefa. If it's cut off below that knee joint, then if it's in the upper half of the next bone, of the shin bone, then it'll be kosher. But if it's cut further down in the area of the tzemes ha'gidim, then it's going to be a problem. Because the tzemes ha'gidim are essential to the animal. But according to you, Rav Yehuda, that you say it's the whole up until below the ankle joint, it's only if it's cut below the ankle joint is the animal going to be kosher anyway. My v'chein shenitzel tzemes ha'gidim. Why does the Mishnah even have to mention the case if the tzemes ha'gidim was removed? If it's cut anywhere above the ankle of the animal, then the tzemes ha'gidim are gone as well. So then the Mishnah doesn't need to add that point. Amalei, so you heard the answers, it means one or the other. Rechuva below tzemes ha'gidim, tzemes ha'gidim below rechuva. Either one. If the leg is broken or amputated in the rechuva above that joint, below tzemes ha'gidim, even though the tzemes ha'gidim themselves were not affected. And then tzemes ha'gidim below rechuva, and vice versa, if the tzemes ha'gidim are damaged or cut, as we're going to talk about later, but the joint itself is intact, then either one is enough to make the animal tshefa. Okay, so Ola asks him about nechtefu katani. Yeah, but the Mishnah starts off by saying nechtefu ragleh, if its legs were chopped off. So in other words, we're not just talking about a break in the bone. You're arguing, Rav Yehuda, that the Mishnah is telling us if there's a break in the middle bone, then it can, then that alone is enough to make it tshefa. And also similarly, if there's a break in the tzemes ha'gidim, even if the bone is intact. But the Mishnah doesn't start off by saying a case of break. It starts by talking about where the leg was chopped off, was amputated. Now, if the leg is amputated at that part, then the tzemes ha'gidim are gone as well because they're below it. Now you can't say that it means the joint with the tzemes ha'gidim and then just the tzemes ha'gidim without the joint, because then the Mishnah may as well just mention if the tzemes ha'gidim are removed, and we'll understand all the more so if the whole area is cut away. So the Gemara says ishtik Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda ishtik. So Rabbi Yehuda was quiet and didn't have an answer to him. Lavosa did nothing. After Ula left, Omar, Rabbi Yehuda says to himself, "My time, Amilei. Why didn't I give him a good answer?" Lamata in the Mishnah means lamata min ha'akuba. That lamata in all Mishnah, when it's saying it's kosher, would be below that joint, below the ankle joint. So the tzemes ha'gidim are not affected. Lamaila then would mean not lamaila directly above that, but lamaila mitzvah ha'gidim. It would mean only if it's somewhere above the area of the tzemes ha'gidim. So in other words, the Mishnah would be telling us that there's two possibilities in which the animal is safe. One is if the tzemes ha'gidim area itself is affected, and also that if the leg is cut off above the tzemes ha'gidim, so the tzemes ha'gidim themselves are not damaged, but they're completely removed from the animal together with that whole part of the leg, then it would also be tshefa. So now, in other words, if the Mishnah wasn't telling us that, you wouldn't realize that point that maybe you would say, as we're going to talk about soon, as after all, according to Ula's opinion, and we're going to talk about the Rav Rishonim and Paskim like Ula, that in fact it would be kosher as long as the tzemes ha'gidim directly were not damaged. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks to himself, why didn't I give that answer to Ula? Then Rabbi Yehuda rethinks it and says, you know what, it wouldn't have worked. Veloy amulei, didn't I tell him that we're talking about the difference between the bone without the tzemes ha'gidim being broken versus the tzemes ha'gidim without the bone being damaged? And either way, I'm willing that it makes it safe. But omali nechtechu katani, and Ula told me that doesn't work because the Mishnah speaks of the leg being cut and not just the bone being broken. Hochanami, the same way over here. If I had tried to offer him this answer that lamata and lamaila are not adjacent to one another, but lamata means below the joint, and lamaila means means somewhat further up above the middle half of the bone, then he would have told me, min ha'akubo lamaila katani. The Mishnah doesn't say this, just say lamaila, which you could understand to mean some indefinite point further up. It says min ha'akubo lamaila katani. It says specifically right above the joint. So immediately you get above the ankle joint, then immediately the animal is terefa. Now that's the area of the tzemes hagidim. Now Ula himself, Tosfos points out, would not be bothered by that because Ula could understand that, again, Ula, who explains that the joint we're talking about is the knee joint between the thigh bone and the middle bone, he's going to understand that it means that that if it's anywhere below that joint, then it's directly below that joint, then it's partial. Now it is true further down. If it were to be further down on that bone in the area of tzemes hagidim, then it would be a problem because of the damage to the tzemes hagidim. But fine, Ula wouldn't be bothered by that. In other words, the Mishnah wouldn't be telling us that everything below the knee joint is partial. It would depend how far below we're talking about. If it's right below the knee joint, and therefore everything below there has been removed, the bones, the muscles, tzemes hagidim and all, then it's not a problem. But if it was cut off further down in the area of the tzemes hagidim, then it would be treifa, not so much because of the removal of the leg, but because of the cutting of the tzemes hagidim. Okay, so therefore, Sir Rabbi Yehuda realizes to himself, I really didn't have an answer to find for my shita that Ulav would have accepted. Okay. That's one version. The Gemara says, "Rav Papa Masni Hachi." Rav Papa has a different version of how the discussion went. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rab, Amar of Chia. Lamata, when it says in the mission, Lamata, that if it's cut below a certain point, it's kosher, means Lamata min ha'akuba umit tzemes hagidim. It means not only below the joint, but also below the tzemes hagidim. Then the animal will be kosher if that last part, if that last bone, the cannon bone, the equivalent of our hand or foot, was cut off, then fine, it's not fatal to the animal. So then any cut in there would be, any amputation over there, the animal would still be kosher. By the way, with all of this, we're only talking about the hind legs of the animal. The forelegs don't make much of a difference as far as this is concerned. The Mila, then the Papa says that Rav Yehuda would explain, the Mila means the Mila min ha'akubo umit tzemes hagidim. Means, when is it treifa? When the break or the cut is above the akubo and above the tzemes hagidim, meaning, in other words, that when it's in the thigh bone, so then for sure it would mean then for sure the animal would be treifa. Now the chen shenitzel tzemes hagidim, when the Mishnah continues the same way, if the tzemes hagidim would be removed, then that would mean within the middle bone itself, it depends. Sometimes it can be kosher, sometimes it can be treifa. Depends whether the break is in the area of the tzemes hagidim or not. If it's above the tzemes hagidim, then the animal is still kosher. But akuba gufa, as far as what is the definition of the arkuba, would indeed be to the ula amar of Oshia, that it means the upper joint, that it means the knee joint. So therefore, so the Maila says, in other words, according to the Papa's version, Rabbi Yehuda is partially agreeing with Ula. Unlike in the first version of Rabbi Yehuda, where the joint we're referring to is the equivalent of the ankle joint, here we're saying, according to the Papa, that he would agree with Ula that the joint in question is the knee joint. So anything above that, meaning in the thigh, then the animal is going to, in the thigh bone, then the animal is going to be treifa. Below that, it's going to depend whether it's in the area of the tzemes hagidim or not. So the Gemara asks, well, what does that mean then? How is that possible? According to Rav Huna, that you're telling me that if the bone, that according to Ula, and according to the Papa's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling us it's possible for the leg to be cut off at a higher point, closer to the body, and the animal will be kosher, but now if it's cut at a lower point in the area of the tzemes hagidim, it's going to be treif. What's the logic? Or me, to midi, the madly kosher leva chaya, where do you ever have a case where if it's cut off closer to the body, higher up, then the animal will be able to live. The tati possibly, but then you go further down, umesa, and then it's going to die. Isn't it more logical that the closer the cut is to the actual center of mass of the animal, it's going to be more fatal? Rabashi says that's not a valid question. Treifas kamadamis la'adadi. Are you comparing treifas to one another? Amen. The treifas zudim lozu. And treifas, we say that we don't necessarily say that one thing exactly resembles the other. After all, you can have an animal. You can have one area where you cut it, and you see that it'll live. And it'll die close from the kandahoya, and then on the other hand, you can cut it in a different place, and then you cut it in a different place, and it'll survive. Earlier in the previous parak, Rashi gave an example that, let's say, for example, if you cut the sinmanim, then the animal is going to die from that. But if you cut the shoulders of the animal, then it'll live, because even though they're in the same area. So you see that different parts are different, and you can say the main chayus of the animal, at least the back and that area, has to do with it. So it's like getting not in the part above that. So therefore, if the bone was broken or damaged, or amputated in the area of the Tzemes HaGidim, and the Tzemes HaGidim themselves are affected, then you have a Tzedeka over here. On the other hand, Rav Ashi is pointing out, you can well have above that, so that the Tzemes HaGidim are gone from the animal altogether, fine, but nevertheless, the point is, that whole part of the leg is gone, then that's not so bad, and the animal can in fact survive. Now, who is the halacha like? So we have two different versions of what Rav Yehuda says, and we have what Ula says. Rashi says that we go l'chumra according to the first opinion, the first understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the most machmir of these three opinions. So it would mean that the animal is kosher only if there's a break below that ankle joint, but anything above it, it's going to be treifa, whether it involves the tzemes hagidim or whether it's above it. On the other hand, there are a lot of Rishonim who passed him like Ula, especially because we said before that Ula asked the question to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't have a good answer to it. And he said that even he tried to think of what the answer would be, and then he couldn't think of an answer. So the Rosh actually brings both opinions. He brings first Rashi's opinion and the Sefer HaTruma that also agrees with it. Then he brings from the Riva and says that no, the opinion is the halacha is like a more lenient opinion, and therefore you can have the leg can be cut off above the Tzemes HaGidim and below the knee joint, and it could be kosher. And there are a lot of Rishonim who also learn that way. So in fact, Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, but that Amma writes that the minhag of Ashkenaz is to be machmir according to the first opinion, and therefore the result is any break in the area that Tzemes HaGidim or above it would make the animal treifa. Okay. Now let's get into the details of what exactly constitutes a Tzemes HaGidim. The Abraham Tzemes HaGidim. An interesting point in that regard, by the way, the Rosh points out that Rif brings only the second version of Rabbi Yehuda, implying that he holds the halacha is like that. The Ramban also agrees with that. So the Ramban points out, in that case, you can have an interesting thing. What if the Tzemes HaGidim are cut off or injured or whatever, and we're saying that would make the animal treifa? Can we, according to that opinion, would we instead then be able to go and cut off the animal's leg above that point, above where the Tzemes HaGidim were, and make it kosher again? So in fact, the Ramban says maybe in fact that would work if you do that before you shech the animal. You have an animal, the Tzemes HaGidim was cut or damaged. Conceivably, you could cut off the leg while the animal is alive, above that point, above the midpoint of the middle bone, and it would be kosher. On the other hand, the Rosh says that no, treifa is treifa. It can't become mutter again. And there's a lively discussion among Rishonim and Achronim on the ins and outs of that. Do we ever, in fact, say that we have an example like that where an animal could be treifa and then made to be kosher again? In the previous parak, we talked a lot about cases, for example, where there's a hole in a vital organ and then a krum, a membrane, of a scar tissue growth. Was over it, whether it can be kosher, and we generally said that no. So here also you could argue that maybe not, but the Ramban says that the Ramban says that maybe not. There was an interesting explanation in that regard, that maybe there's a difference between something that can be healed with medication. We learned from the previous parak, we had examples, for example, where it said that there was a certain family that would, if they struck an animal in the gidanosha, it would die, the sciatic nerve, it would die, and yet that's not considered a treifa, because the Gemara said it could be cured with medicine. So maybe then, so that kind of thing would be one thing versus doing something else, such as cutting off the leg over here, might be a different kind of thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Elohim Tzemes HaGidim. What are the actual tendons that make up the Tzemes HaGidim? So first of all, let's define the area of it. Rabba Omer Rav Ashi, Garna Ulfahar. It means, what is it? It means what's on the outside of the bone. Means what's on the outside, what's a garland on the bone, ulvar, and on the outside. So Rashi explains, when you have these tendons come out of the bone, they extend through the flesh, through the muscles. Now you have, in other words, Rashi describes, you have a point where the bone is just bare of flesh, where you just have skin on it. You have two, or you just have tendons and skin attached to it. You have two or three exvarious length where the gidim are attached to it. Then you have a point above that where they start separating. So now when they're tied together, it's called psoimus, because that's the word psoimus, means tied together. So therefore, so the psoimus they get in would only be once they separate off the bone and they start going through the muscles. That would be, it actually defines as the beginning of the, psoimus they get in. So they start from there. So in other words, you have, if you look at the more detailed anatomy, if you look, for example, at the pictures that I sent before, so you'll have, there comes a point when these tendons are directly on the bone. Then as they go further down, they start embedding into the muscles, because that's the function of tendons is to move bones and muscles to allow you to flex your foot or walk or flex your toes or whatever, the different tendons over there. So now what's outside of the bone is where the psoimus agidim begins. On the other hand, Rabbi Bar Avuna says in the name of Rashi that it means on the contrary. It means what's on the inside. So we're just the opposite. We're the gidim are tightly attached to the bone, and there's no muscles over there. So from then, so in other words, agarma olivar would be. The upper area, where the first possibility that we're talking about would be the upper area, and then a garmo lagav would be lower, closer to the joint. And then Rava, the son of Rava Bar Avuna, says in the name of Ra'asi, yet another opinion, the Ilove Arkuma. The tzemes that give him are the tendons that are right on, that are above the Arkuma. The Arkuma is the area of the joint itself. In particular, you have the middle bone, you have the lower bone, and between them you have a joint over there, where in particular you have one very large bone over there, and the heel bone, the calcaneus. So now you have the tendons that are above that, or the tzemes that give him. So he would be including both areas, both agarma olivar and agarma olagav. He would be including all of them. According to him, it begins directly above that joint and goes all the way, and goes a distance up from there. Anything that's cut in that area would make the animal chase. So the Gemara continues. Yes, and that says, so far we have three opinions. Again, the upper part, the lower part, or both. Now the Gemara continues. Yosef Ahumer Rabbanan, Kamei Rav Abba. One of the Chachamim was sitting in front of Rav Abba. Yosef Akama, he was sitting and saying, Garkuma Gufa. It means not only above the heel bone, as Rava Bar Avuna had said, but even the Gidim that are on the Arkum, that are on the heel bone itself. But Rav Abba says, "Loi tzai sulei." Don't pay attention to him. That's too machmer. Hochi, Amar Rav Yehuda. You should know. Rav Yehuda explained, "Hecha de pari tabchi." But tzemes gidim is the area where the butchers cut into when they want to take off the skin, when they want to skin the back leg. So that would be the and that's the area. They're starting to remove the muscles. They're starting to remove the skin and then the muscles from the leg bones. So now at that point, as Rashi had said on the Mishnah, they remove those gidim. So that would be higher than the arkuma, higher than the joint, but not at the joint itself. So Rashi actually gives two explanations. One is when they see the place where they start removing the flesh, the muscles from the bone. The other one is where they start removing the skin. Either way, it's an area not exactly by that heel bone, but just above it. The various posts that we talk about this actually talk about they seem to make it sound as though there's only one bone in that area. that is relevant over here. They're actually, besides when you have the upper bone and the lower bone, and you actually have a bunch of bones over there, the same way as in our ankle and in our wrist, we have a bunch of small bones. So there is some discussion among Achronim exactly which bone over here is the Arkuma that we're talking about. In addition, you also really have several different ways that we've shown him have to explain what the, to explain what exactly the service of given is. So according to Rashi, we're talking about tendons on the back of the leg. So we're including things like the Achilles tendon and a couple of others. As I was going to say soon, there's three tendons that are relevant over here. The Rambam actually gives an explanation that seemingly says that it begins from above the heel, above the hooves. And a lot of Rishonim have a problem with that. Why on earth would all the way down there near the heel be considered the Tzedes HaGidim? And what do we mean before when we said in the Gemara that the lowest bone, the Akuban and Teres and Marosh, if there's a break or an amputation over there, then it's kosher. In fact, the Rashba says that I don't understand the Rambam, and it seems the Rambam himself changed his mind in a Chofar. On the other hand, Hassan Sofer gives an explanation that we're going to talk about soon. The Rambam holds the length of the Tzedes HaGidim area is 16 etzbos. So he explains that basically, yes, if you count from directly above the hoof and go all the way until the middle of the shin bone, then it's a length of approximately 16 etzbos, provided that we measure the etzbos not as full thumbs like we usually do in halacha, but rather as the fingers of the hand as they are next to one another, where you have the pinky is smaller than the middle finger, etc., the pinky is smaller than the ring finger, etc., then you'll find that it actually works out at a point of the Rambam. In other words, all the gidim, all the tendons in that area would be part of the tzemes gidim. The majority of poskim disagree with that concept, though. The Ravid has yet another. Both Rashi and the Rambam, though, do seem to agree that we're talking about tendons on the outside of the leg. The Ravid has a unique shitta in it. The Ravid learns that actually, when we say agama olabar, agama delagab, what we mean is, he says that it means actually that we're saying that service agidim are not the ones on the outside of the leg, rabar means the outside, but rather delagab, the ones that are on the inside, that are on the inside of the leg. So according to him, service agidim are not over the ankle bone and whatever, wouldn't include the Achilles tendon, but rather, according to him, they would be a couple of gidim that are on the inside side of the leg, the side that faces towards the rest of the animal's body. And in fact, you have a couple of gidim over there you have a couple of tendons that are bound together over there by a ring of cartilage, and that's therefore, according to the diagram, that's the definition of a tzemes gidim. The Rashba, a couple of other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashba agree with him, but the Rosh again says that no, it's a very nice Svara, but how can you argue with Rashi? Rashi learned from his Rebbeim, the Gaon Olam, and in fact he himself checked and found that it fits better with Rashi's opinion. Part of the question is that Rashi's definition of the Tzemes HaGidim, they don't actually seem to be that close together. As you can see in one of the pictures that I sent, you actually have, according to the simple meaning of Rashi, you would actually have different gidim that are on different sides of the leg, separated by some of the leg bones. And how can you call that soyness? There is in fact an explanation that some Achronim give that maybe Rashi actually refers to one tendon, which is actually made up of a bunch of three smaller ones. Maybe that would be the one that Rashi is referring to. Whatever the case, the halacha is basically not like the halacha is basically more like Rashi, and in that regard, as the Rosh says, and therefore, so actually the poskim are machmir like both of them. So really, if you have any tendons in that area of the leg that are damaged, then you may have a problem. Provided that, as the Gemara is going to say, soon, a little bit of damage does not necessarily make the animal tefer. It has to be that enough of these tendons were cut or damaged for it to be a problem, as we'll talk about later. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tzemes HaGidim Sh'omru. When we're talking about the Tzemes HaGidim, Mokem Sh'agidim Tzemesin. It means when the Gidim are attached together and they look and they look superficially like one gid. So that would be only above the Arkum. So it would be, in other words, not like that Hahum and Abanan had said that it includes even the area of the Arkum, of the heel bone itself, but rather only above that. Okay, the Gemara says, Ad Kama, how far upward does it extend from there? So one of the Chachamim says, namely, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, Ki Avenin Bei Rabbi Yehuda. When we were in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Shimomini Milsa Debi Gaber Rabba Shneali. I want you to hear from me, says Rabbi Yehuda, something that I heard from a great person. I'm going to interject. So Manu, who would that be? Shmuel. that he said, first of all, it's the area where the Gidim are connected and bound together, and it would be from that area, from where they connect together until where they spread out one from another. The Kama, okay, so how much, how can we define that in terms of length? I'm going to buy it. Arba bati b'torah. In an ox, it would be the equivalent of four bati. Rashi defines bati as its voice, so according to that, then it would mean that the length of the tzemes ha-gidin in cattle would be four its voice, which is depending on the different poskim is approximately 3 to 4 inches. And then you would scale it down depending on the size of the animal. The Rambam has a different shit on it. The Rambam learns that a bata is 4 etzbos, and therefore, according to him, so he says 4 bati, then would be 16 etzbos, and so he says that in an ox, the total length of the tzemes ha-gidim would be an area of 16 etzbos. Many Mishonim have a hard time with that, because on the face of it, then you don't seem to have such a length that should be considered tzemes ha-gidim, but the Chassam Sofer finds a way to justify it. Okay, the Gemara says the dakamai. What about a small animal? It's not going to be, it's certainly not going to be as large as 4 or 16 etzbos. So Amar Abaye says, here's how you tell. You're not going to be able to give a specific length, but rather we can talk about it in terms of the characteristics of the gidim. Bliti, first of all, where they stick out before they get embedded into the muscles, have with tzemes ha-gidim, that's considered the tzemes ha-gidim. Bli, but in the area where they get embedded into the muscles, what you have with tzemes ha-gidim, at that point, they're not considered tzemes ha-gidim anymore. Ashuni, also, where they're hard and stiff, have with tzemes ha-gidim, that's defined as tzemes ha-gidim. Rakichi, and when they're softer, what you have with tzemes ha-gidim, then they're not considered tzemes ha-gidim anymore. Alimi, when they're thick, have with tzemes ha-gidim, then they're part of the tzemes ha-gidim. Ktini, and when they're smaller and thinner, what have with tzemes ha-gidim, then they're not. Chivri, when they're white in color, have with tzemes ha-gidim, then they're part of the tzemes ha-gidim. Lo chivri, when they're not white, when they become reddish, lo have with tzemes ha-gidim. So all of this amounts to the same thing. In other words, for them to be part of the tzemes ha-gidim, it means, in other words, that they have to be connected together, sticking out. And not embedded into the muscles, hard, and thick and whitish. So all of those things define the area of the tzemes ha-gidim. And we're saying that now, if there's that area, if there's a tzemes ha-gidim, we're damaged, then the animal can be tofer. Ma'abravashi says another part of the definition, kidim dizigim, in an area where the gidim are off white, Ziggy literally means clear, so it means, in other words, like they're not exactly clear and see through, but where they're a little more translucent, even though they're not exactly white, then that's also included in the tzemes ha-gidim. Now, Rashi says we should hold like Ma'abra Rashi, because we have a general rule that the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that the halacha is like in any way he says something in Shas with the exception of two halachas, and this is not one of them. As far as how to define where the tzemes ha-gidim begins and ends, Rashi points out, since we have a machlokas over here in the Gemara, and we're not clearly saying who the halacha is like, then since we're dealing with a matter of Torah, it's a matter of treifas, then we have to be machmir. So from above, so fine, we rejected the idea that it's on the alfuma, that it's on the joint, that it's on the heel bone itself, or any of those little bones over there, but anywhere above it, until the area where they spread out, anywhere in that area would be considered the tzemes ha-gidim, even if the bone as a whole is intact. Now, again, there's a number of different opinions among the Rishonim and Achronim about defining that exact area and what exactly is, and in what cases it will and won't be tereifa. Anyway, Rashi is saying the halacha is like Ma'abra Rashi. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from a Ben Hanano that has a different version of that. We say that the halacha, when the halacha is like Ma'abra Rashi and when not, and one of them is in Tosfos's Girsa is chivri, is white, namely that would be over here. We're talking about the gidim being white versus translucent, and then that would mean the halacha is not like Ma'abra Rashi, and only when they're actually white are they considered part of the tzemes ha-gidim. The Gemara continues, Omar Amayim Meshmeidet Avzvid, Tlosa Chuti Havu. There are three threads, meaning three tendons, that we're concerned with over here as far as the Tzemes HaGidim. Chab Alimo Tshrei Ktini. One is thick, and one is thick, and the other ones and the other two are thinner, so they're still fairly thick, but we're still talking about that they're thinner than that thick one. So again, some of the pictures that I sent, you can see that. Again, according to Rashi and most of the Shonim, we're talking about on the back of the leg. According to the Ravid, we're talking about on the front of the leg. So now says continues Amema, ifsik alima, if the thick one is cut. Of the roi binyan, then here you have roi binyan. Most of that means that most of the structure of the tzemes hagidim is gone, and therefore the animal is terefa. If the ktini, and if the two thinner ones are cut, but the big one, the thick one is intact, as the roi binyan, then you have a different reason why it would be terefa, because then it means that roi binyan, most of the number is gone, two out of three. So in other words, Amema was saying, in order for it to be kosher, it can only be. If you have only one of the small ones was cut, then it'll be kosher because then you have roid binyan and roid minyan. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Ma'abravashi, Masna Makula. Ma'abravashi learns what Rav Zvid had said the other way around Makula, that you don't need roid binyan and roid minyan, it's enough for one. So according to his version, Rav Zvid said, Ifsik alima, that if the thick one was cut, then it's not a problem for Ika roid minyan, because you still have roid minyan, you still have the majority of the number, two out of three. If the kalima, and if the thick one was cut, or if a roiv minion, then you have the roiv minion, the majority of the, so if the kalima, if a roiv minion, so if the thick one was cut, then you have the majority of the number, two out of three. If the ktini, and if the two thin ones were cut, or if a roiv minion, you still have the majority of the structure, because that thick one is thicker than the other two combined, and therefore would be kosher. Here also, Rashi Paskins, like Ma'abra Ravashi, again, for the same reason that we said before, that Ma'abra Ravashi is, the halacha is always like Ma'abra Ravashi, and here Tosfos doesn't disagree. So therefore, it comes out with an animal, then you have three gidim, but only if roiv binyan and roiv minyan is gone, then you have a problem, but not if it's one or the other, then the animal will still be kosher. The post can talk about some details. What about if some of them are partially? What are some of them? The Ran talks about, for example, what about if they're partially cut through? Could it still be okay as long as part of them is still intact, etc. Okay. Now, what about, that's as far as animals so far. What about birds? But Oifus, the Gemara says, when it comes to birds, shiksa potiyavu. By birds, there are 16 tendons that we have to be concerned with. Iposik, chadmi, nayu trefa, and if even one of them is cut, then the bird is trefa, even though the other 15 are intact. The logic is, Rabbeinu Yohanan then explains, a bird has less chayus, has less vitality to it than an animal. It's a smaller creature, and therefore an injury to one of these gidin is going to make it safer, even though a larger animal would be able to survive such a thing. Nowadays, you have an issue, actually, many times there's a prevalent thing with chickens that sometimes, not prevalent really, but an occasional thing with chickens, that some of these gidim get damaged. First of all, because the chickens are fed in order to increase the amount of white meat on them, so that puts more strain on their legs and on their tendons. Second of all, there's also some kind of viral disease that can spread among chickens that tends to affect these gidim. So there's a bit of discussion among the different poskim nowadays and among the different cashless agencies, to what extent do you need to actually check for it? What they often do in many plants is they kind of do spot checks on them to see which ones, if they find in a particular group of birds, if they find a problem with the gidim, then they'll check the rest of that group because maybe the virus spread from one to the other. But otherwise, in general, we say, as with most terephas, you don't usually have to check for them unless there's a reyesa, unless there's a strong reason to think that there's some problem with them. In practice, what they do is they at least do spot checks. I think there were maybe some plants where they checked every one, but I'm not sure about that. Okay. So the Gemara tells, Omer Ma'abra Rav Ashi, have a ke'im nekamei da'ava. So Ma'abra Rav Ashi says, one time I was standing in front of my father, Rav Ashi, v'aisur kamei oifa, they brought to him a bird, and he checked the tzemes hagidim, v'ashtach v'chamesa. Now he found only 15 gidim over there. There was supposed to be 16. But then he noticed, he noticed one that seemed different than the other ones, so he pulled it apart, and it turned out that sure enough there were two, and there was 16, and all 16 were intact, and therefore Rav Ashi could say that the bird was kosher. Okay. more on the topic of the Semes HaGidim, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Semes HaGidim Sha'amru, when we're talking about the damage of cutting in the Semes HaGidim, then it's only a problem, Berubay, only if most of it was damaged. Well, my Rubay, Berubay, Echad Mehen, the majority of even one of them. Now that would disagree with what we said before, that if one of them was cut, the other two can still be kosher. Rav Yehuda would be disagreeing with, in the name of Rav, would be disagreeing with that. But Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel." When I told over this din that I had learned from Rav, when I told it over to Shmuel, on the lease, Shmuel says, "Why should it be treifa?" Mechti tlosa havu. Consider there are three gidim. Kimista chad menai legamri. Even if one of them is completely cut, you're talking about rubor. That if most of one of them was cut through, then it can be treifa. But no, even if the whole thing of one of them was cut through, or you could treifa, you still have two intact ones. And as like we said before, it's a roiv minion. Why shouldn't it be cut through? So the Gemara points out, time of the Ikaturei. Now, the reason why Shmuel is saying it's kosher seems to be only because there were two intact ones left. It sounds like Shmuel would be saying that if there were two that are not intact, then Shmuel would agree it's Tereka, and in that case, would pligged the Rabbi Noi. In that case, then, Rabbi Yehuda, saying in the name of Shmuel, would disagree with what Rabbi Noi reports in the name of Shmuel. Do Amar Rabbi Noi, Amar Shmuel, Semes HaGidim, Afilu L'Nishtayim, Ba'elet Chotasar Bokshayim. Rabbi Noi says in the name of Shmuel, that even if there's only left of each of the Gidim, only the thickness of the string, of a sarbol. A sarbol is a type of coat. So you had it would have a drawstring on it. So even if there's only that thickness left, kshera, then the animal would still be kosher. So in other words, he would be saying on the face of it that even if two of them are completely cut through and the third one is also partially cut through, but you have the chutah sarbol left, then it would still be kosher. On the other hand, there are those who say, my Rubai, Rav Falachav Rechad, another version is that when we said Rubai, the first version of Rubai that Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the name of Rav would be Rav Echad Mehem. That if the majority of even one gid was cut, then the animal would be treif. Now, a second version is Rav Falachav Rechad, only if the majority of each one is cut through, then it would be treif. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, "Piyamita kamei de Shmuel." When I told that over to Shmuel, Amali says to me again, "Mechti tlosa havu." Consider there are three. Even if the majority of each one is cut through, you have at least one third left of each one, and therefore that should be enough to make it kosher. According to that, what Rabbi Yehuda is recording in the name of Shmuel would support what Rabbi Noi said in the name of Shmuel. Dama Rabbi Noi, Yom Shmuel, Tzemes Egin and Shamu, Afil Lenishtayim, Rav, Chotasarbo, Ksheva, even if there's only left a Chotasarbo, the thickness of the drawstring of a coat, then it would be kosher. So you have different opinions among the Rishonim how to understand that. Doesn't mean that it's enough if all that's left only from one gid, or does it have to be left? It does have to be left that amount from each of the three given. And you have different understanding, you have different opinions among the Rishonim, and among the Poskim, what exactly the halakhos are in this case, as far as how much of the Semes HaGidim can be damaged or cut, and the animal still be kosher. Again, when it comes to birds, you have less leeway, and we said if even one gid is damaged, then it's safer, which again, you know, nowadays you have an occasional problem with that with birds. Okay, so that ends the discussion of the Semes HaGidim. Next, the Mishnah had said Nishbara Etzim Fula. The Mishnah had said that if a bone is broken, so then the Mishnah had drawn a distinction between whether Roiv Habasar Chayim, whether most of the flesh is intact or not. So first of all, the Gemara explains. Now we also explained earlier in the Mishnah that if the animal's legs were cut off below or above the arkuba, and we talked about which arkuba do we mean, which joint do we mean, the joint, the knee joint, or the ankle joint. So Rav says like this. The Maila Minhar Kuba, if it's above the joint, meaning in the middle bone, above the Semes HaGidim, Im Roiv Habasar Chayim, so if most of the flesh is intact, meaning that the break is covered, is mostly covered by flesh, Zev Zem Mutter, then both the animal and the individual limb will be mutter, because then the flesh, the muscles around that break will promote healing, and therefore eventually it'll heal and they'll be completely attached again like it's supposed to. The Imlab, Zev Zem Usser, and if not, Rav says both of them are going to be Usser, the limb is going to be Usser, but the animal as a whole will be Usser, because then again you have a break at that point in the middle bone, maybe said before, that that's already according to the opinion that you learned before, that in that area, when you have a break, when you have a cut, then it's a problem. If it's above the Tzemes HaGidim, then therefore it's going to, that the whole thing is going to be also. So in other words, Rashi explains, Rav would say that when the Mishnah had said that the part itself would be also, that the animal as a whole would be mutter, would be only if it's lamatim and harakul, but only if it's below that joint. That's Rav. Ushmuel, Amar Shmuel says, no, vema maila vema mata, whether it's above the joint or below it, im reva basakayim, most of the flesh is intact, zev is a mutter, then the animal as a whole, as well as the slim, will be mutter, im la, then if not, eva osir, or behema muteres. The limb will be also because it's an Abraham Adurdo, but the animal will be mutter, I for Milam in Harakuba. Because Shmuel says there's a distinction between the Mishnah had talked about when the leg was cut off completely versus here we're talking about it's only broken. At least it's broken, the Gideon are still completely intact, and therefore it will be fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, Maskev for Rav Nachman and Shmuel, but Rav Nachman asks Shmuel, what do you mean? You're in every man of Mutal Bashva. What does it mean? What does it mean? People are going to say that you have a limb of the animals lying in the garbage from Eva on the Dildo, Umuteras, and the animal as a whole should be Mutter. It doesn't seem to be logical. Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna asks Rav Nachman, why are you only asking on Shmuel? L'Rav Nami, you're in every man of Mutal Bashva, Umuteras. You could ask the same question on Rav. That Rav is saying there can be a point where it's broken below a certain joint, and the aver is and they have a case where the aver is also and the behemah is mutter. So why are you asking only on Shmuel? The same exact question could be asked on Rav. There's an explanation, the Leif Aryeh gives an explanation of what's Nachman's question. And if, let's say, for example, you have, an ear of the animal is thrown in the garbage, is that going to make the animal treifa? Of course not. There are vital organs, and there are not. So Rav Nachman holds, as we learned before, that Avraham Adulah is maybe also only the Rabbanan, so maybe the Chachamim should not be asking it in a case like this, so people will think that it's inconsistent. So Rav Acha is telling him, well, you can ask the same question on Rav. On the way, so Rav Nachman asks, what I mean to say is, Eva Shechoyo Mimeni, you're talking about a limb where the animal's life depends on it. Because we're saying if it's cut above a certain point, the animal is going to be treifa, and we talk about the Tzemes HaGidim, Muto Ba'ashva, now you're telling me that this piece is going to be thrown out into the garden, or Umuteras, and the animal as a whole should be Muter. In other words, not only should the limb itself be also, but if the animal's chayus depends on it so much, then the animal should actually be treifa. So how can you tell me, according to Shmuel, that you have in the upper part of the middle bone where the chayus of the animal on the face of it depends on that, and yet you should say that it's kosher if that part is broken, and then the limb itself will be mutter, and the limb itself will be also. So the Gemara says, Shochem Mitom, they sent a message from there, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, Duch Shakava say to Rav, the halacha is like Rav, so only if the break is below the joint, in the lower bone, in the canon bone, then, as long as you have enough flesh around it to cause it to heal, then everything will be mutter, otherwise that limb will be usser, but not like Shmuel, that if it's above the joint in the middle bone, that could possibly be kosher. Then the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, specifically Rabbi Lazar, changed his mind and sent a message to Halachas like Shmuel that it's kosher even if it's broken above that area, as long as you have enough flesh around it for the bone to heal. Then again, the Chachamim, Rabbi Lazar, changed their mind again and sent a message that Halacha is like Rab, and added also the detail for Eva Asim and the Tamei B'Masa. The limb itself will have Tumas Masa, it'll have the Tuma of Eva Menachayim. Because like we learned earlier in the Perek, we're going to say that Oisim Nipul, and it's considered as though it fell off when the animal was alive, and we're going to say, even though we learned earlier in the Perek, that Shkita does not make Nipul, but Rabbi Lazar, in Eretz Yisrael, actually holds that it does. It's considered as though it fell off now, as soon as you shek the animal. It's considered as though it fell off while the animal was alive, and therefore it's going to be metamei. So what was going on over here? Tertus Chaim explains that first Rabbi Lazar figured out halacha is like Rav in Isser Behetu. Then he figured out halacha is like Shmuel, because the Mishnah sounds more like him, that if it's only talking about the lower bone, the Mishnah seems to be implying that even in the middle bone, there can be a case where it's mutter. Then they said the halacha is like Rav, and no, the Mishnah is actually talking about the middle bone, but that's when the Mishnah says that the limb is osur, what it means is, it is in fact osur when it's broken in the middle, but as far as tumah, As far as tumah, there's going to be a difference that sometimes you can have the limb will be tameh, but the animal as a whole will be tameh. Okay, the Gemara says Mosiv Rav Chista. That's what Rav Chista says. So you're telling me that shchita ois a nipple, but we learned earlier in the parak a few dafim ago, but when we had the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about whether they're about the limb that stuck out of the baby before the mother was born, is it considered to be Avram and Achai, or is it considered to be just today for shchita? And Rav Meir had said to them, "Lo, you can't say like you're saying that that it's like a regular shreifa of a shechted. Im tira shchita shreifa oisiv as eva amadul daba. You know why you could say that the shchita of a shreifa is metahar it, as well as a limb that's hanging off it, is davashel gufa, because it's all part of the body of the animal. To tira to uber davashel enim gufa. How could it be metahar the baby, which is not part of the mother's body? See, but you see, in other words, that a mayor is clearly saying that the shchita can be matar and Avram adul dovah. So what do you mean that would have tumas masa? What do you mean that would have the tumor of Avram and Achai? Omalei Rava. So Rava asks Rav Chista, why are you even asking the question in that way? Haduri apir chalom aloch. Why are you looking around for places from which to ask questions, asking from a braisa, which not everybody is familiar with? You might as well ask the question from the Mishnah, which all the Amoraim are familiar with. We learn later in the Masechta, Nishchata Behema, that once you have an animal that has an Avram Adildo, when the animal is Nishchata Behema, Mokshur of the Mal, that the animal as a whole, as well as the Avram Adildo, becomes Mokshur of Kabal Tumah by virtue of the blood that pours out of the animal during the Shchita. Give it a mayor, so says her mayor. Reb Shimon Amalai Hokshuru. And Reb Shimon says that it's not that limb is not mukshel kabel tumah, which we will learn later on in the sect the various reasons why Reb Shimon holds that. Be that as it may, the point is that Mishnah also implies that it doesn't have the tumah of Avram and Achai. If it did, then it wouldn't need hechshel kabel tumah, like we learned earlier in our parak. So then, from that Mishnah alone, you could ask why you're saying that this Avram the dodo, that this limb with a broken bone, even in a point where it doesn't make the animal treifa, nevertheless, the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael have said that it's Matana Tumas Masa, that it has the Tumah of Nevela. You could contradict that from the Mishnah. Almalais, Rav Chista answers, the reason I didn't bring from the Mishnah is because with the Mishnah, we could push it off, we could deflect the question like we did before, that in fact it does have tumas the tumah of Nevela, the tumah of Eid Menachai. When the Mishnah had said Fuchshu B'dameha, it means that they, whether you have meat that comes off that, or whether you have meat, or whether you have the Eber as a whole, either one of them, in other words, you have that we talked about on Ayin Gimel on the base, you can have meat, you can have flesh that comes off that Eid Menachai, or you can have flesh that comes directly off the animal, and both of those need Hefshul HaKabal Tumah. Because an Avram and Achai would be defined only when it's a complete thing with Basav Gidimat Sama, it's not just flesh. So you could answer that like we did the other day, and therefore you don't have to say, and you don't have to say that the Mishnah is in fact talking about the Avram as a whole. But the Braisa more clearly says, Avram Adul Dovah. Okay, so the Gemara doesn't give an answer to that. So we seem to have a contradiction from that Braisa on Rabbi Elazar, who's saying that the Avram itself would be Matan and Tumas Nevein. The Gemara says, what's the bottom line halacha? He saw it, Reb Zeru, when Reb Zeru went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Reb Yumia, he found Reb Yumia Ba'aba, to be exact, just says in the Gemara here, Reb Yumia, how goes the Bach adds Reb Yumia Ba'aba, the Yosef, Akamal Olal HaShmaita, he was sitting and saying over this discussion and saying what Rav had said, that only the Matzah Mehar Kuba, only below the ankle joint, can the animal still be kosher. If it was broken over there, and if you have enough basur, if you have enough flesh around the brace, then the animal itself, then not only the animal, but even that limb will be mutter, and otherwise the limb will be osir, and the animal will be mutter. So Omalei, Reb Zeru says, Yishar, well said, V'chein Tirgama Aryuch B'Bavel. You should know that Aryuch translate explain it that way in Bavel as well. So you must Aryuch Manu, who is Aryuch Shmuel? Shmuel is sometimes nicknamed Aryuch. As we have Aryuch Melech Eloser. You have one of the four kings that conquered Sdoim, and then Abram fought against them. Well, then Aryuch the king of Eloser. So Shmuel is called a king because the halacha is like in Dinei Mamonos, especially Marashal adds Dinei. That's what Rashi says. Marashal adds Dinei de Malchusa Dinei. We know the king's law is the king is the law. Also in Torah, and therefore Shmuel, the halacha is like in Dinei Mamonos, can be called by the name of a king. Aryuch. Different other Rishonim talk about different other considerations as well. There's also Aryuch comes from a word that means a lion, Aryeh. So therefore, it's also an appropriate name for for Shmuel, who was the king of Talmud Chachamim. There's also an interesting idea that somebody showed him say, El Osir, the name of the place where Aryeh was the king, El Osir can be broken up into Al Osir, meaning not in Isir, because in Isir the Heker, usually the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel. In any case, so the question is, so Rav Zera is telling Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, you should know that not only Rav said it this way, but Shmuel also explained it this way. Well, the Gemara said, what do you mean, well, Mithlag Poli? We said that Shmuel disagreed, and said that even if it's broken in the middle bone, then it can still be kosher. And the Gemara says, hold it by Shmuel, the Gabbai de Rav, Shmuel actually changed his mind, and ended up agreeing with Rav, that if it's broken above the, that if it's broken above the knee joint, then the animal as a whole is safer, even if there's not roif basar kayim, if there's not most of the flesh is intact, then it's still going to be, then the animal as a whole is going to be treated. If roif basar kayim, then the Ava will be osir, and the behema as a whole will be mutter. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll talk about what the nature is. What do we mean by roiv basar? What exactly is the definition of roiv basar? And continue talking about this matter of broken bones and the various dinim that are involved with that.